asked about characters today. We're going to dive into some of the characters. And I have, I was thinking about it, like, who is my favorite character? And at first thought, I went to the reindeer, you know, Dasher and Dancer and all of them, because, like, Rudolph gets the story and the song. And I feel a little bad for the rest of the reindeer. Like, they don't get any love. But then I went through the song. I'm like, wow, they were mean. Like, they were mean to Rudolph, so I don't want them. But I like reindeer. So naturally, then I went to Sven the reindeer from the Frozen movies, who is probably my favorite Christmas character. I don't know if Frozen is technically a Christmas movie. We always watch it at Christmas, so I'm going to call it a Christmas movie and pick Sven the reindeer, who I think is awesome. My grandpa actually was also what I would deem a real-life character of Christmas. He passed away not long after Jeremiah was born. But he would always sit in the living room or the family room, wherever we gathered, and just kind of took everything in. He had had a stroke when I was little, so he didn't get around super well. But he loved to just kind of sit there, and he would smile and laugh and just take it all in. One of his favorite things to do was to buy, when we were kids, was to buy my sister something usually that had like 150 parts to put on it and like to assemble, and then sit in the living room and laugh at my dad as he's trying to put this whole thing together because my sister demands it gets put together right away. He would also sit there, and as he got older, he loved peanut brittle, so somebody would get him peanut brittle every year, and he didn't share it, like, for the life of him, except for one time. He offered Stacy some of his peanut brittle, and I think everybody in the room was, like, shocked and awed, blown away, because Grandpa Bob offered her peanut brittle. I don't think I ever got offered peanut brittle. You know, he would just sit there and, you know, nudge you with his cane, but never shared his peanut brittle. So he was kind of that real-life character of Christmas. It was a big deal. I think we were just engaged, so he was getting to know you or something like that, but it was a huge deal. I believe she did eat it. She's polite, so I'm sure she ate it, whether she liked it or not. She does not have a peanut allergy, so it was okay for her to eat the peanut brittle. My grandpa also did not have a peanut allergy, thankfully. But I ask about characters because we're in this series, Christmas Then, Christmas Now, where we're talking about elements of the biblical Christmas story that we still kind of use to celebrate today. Last week, Julie talked about decorations and then how we decorate a lot of trees with stars and with angels. But the star and the angel were such a big part of the biblical Christmas story. So today I'm going to look at characters kind of in the same way. Now, when we think about the biblical Christmas story, it's very easy to first go to Jesus. Obviously, we don't have a Christmas story without Jesus, baby Jesus. Or to Mary and to Joseph, they're kind of the big characters, or even maybe the angel. I think the angel gets a lot of love in the Christmas story. But today, I want to talk about the shepherds, kind of that supporting casting, the guys that don't always get a lot of love, but I actually think they have a huge part in the story and something we can learn. All right, now, we hear about shepherds a lot in the Bible, and I think the main way we think about them generally is metaphorically, which is, you know, Psalm 23, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." John 10, verse 11, Jesus even says, "I am the good shepherd." So this means, you know, I'm a person that's going to guide you and take care of you. That's what God does. That's what Jesus is saying he is. There's ministry roles sometimes called shepherds from Ephesians 4. That it says, you know, we were given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So it's used as kind of a ministry role. That's the metaphoric one, and that sounds pretty good. But we're going to talk about today are the shepherds that have the actual vocation, the job of shepherding, which is much less glamorous. Their role was to tend, feed, and guard their sheep, which you can probably imagine. Okay, that makes sense. That's what they do. They were given limited equipment. They would have a bag kind of tied at the ends like you might picture or see on a stick. It had some food in it. They were given a sling, which is for protection or animals that might come across. We remember the story of David and Goliath. He had his sling because David was a shepherd. They had a rod. And then what I didn't realize either is most shepherds also had a flute with them. The flute and the music would calm the sheep if they were kind of getting a little crazy. So this is the stuff that our shepherds had. And the sheep also would recognize the voice of their master. So the sheep knew who the shepherd was and would follow that voice. So, okay, that's kind of what they were like. But they were a very despised class of people. They were not thought highly of in society. We've talked about kind of the biblical culture and societies before. They are very, very hierarchical and status-oriented. And shepherds were way down here. Kind of the upper-level Jews would see them as ceremonially unclean. They were not looked upon well. They were kind of the bottom of the barrel. So it sounds way better to maybe be a metaphorical shepherd. Like, yeah, I can do this, but maybe I'm not way down here with these shepherds. That sounds better, but I think we can take a whole lot more from these actual shepherds and what happened with them in the Christmas story. So we're going to look today at three things the shepherds did in Luke's account of the Christmas story and how we can do those things today. And what they are have to do with God's message. Excuse me. And the first one is they're going to hear it and receive it. They're going to act on it, and they're going to share it, which are all things I think we need to do with God's message to us. So we're going to look at it and see how the shepherds did it. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. It'll be up here on the screen, also in the Bibles on your tables, or feel free to use your phones or tablets. It'll be Luke 2, verses 8 through 14 from the NIV translation. That is where we'll be. We're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to start with Luke 2, 8 through 14. So let's read that and see what we got going on. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." So that's the first part. And what we're going to see here is they're going to hear and receive the message of the angel, the message from God. The shepherds are literally just out there doing their job. They're working, like many of us do. They're out there working, minding their own business, and all of a sudden, this angel appears. Now, angel in this sense would mean messenger. All right, and I want to make that kind of clear because, as Julie talked about last week, not all the angels were these great-looking kind of stereotypes we see on the tops of trees. This is very possibly very terrifying. All right, there was this light glowing around it. Might have been scary. Might have been intimidating. But the shepherds still took it in. They weren't scared off. They didn't run. They could have done. They know their way around. They didn't fight. Remember, they're armed with their sling and their staff and everything. But they stayed and listened. Now, who knows what's going on in the mind of these shepherds where this thing comes and tells them this crazy message. And it seems like this big message, right? They're saying, the angel's saying, the Messiah, the anointed one. This guy's going to bring good news, joy, all of this incredible stuff. And they got to be thinking, why are we getting the message? Remember, they're the lowliest of the low. They don't matter to anyone, but they're the ones getting the message. They take it in. The angel furthers it by saying, this is the one that's going to make peace between God and men. This is a huge deal and a huge message. And the shepherds have to receive it, and they do. They don't think they're unworthy of it. They take it in. And then the angel even gives specific instructions about what the baby is going to be, how to find it. Right, it's born wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, here's the thing that I haven't actually thought about much. It's very possible on this night another baby was born wrapped in swaddling clothes. But the angel says lying in a manger. That's kind of that piece of that's going to be the one in the manger. Shepherds work outside, work in the fields, manger in the barn. They're bringing it together. Shepherds and a manger. That manger sets Jesus apart and tells the shepherds, this is for you guys here. Go and find it. Take in this message and go see this baby. So it's a crazy experience. It's a crazy message. But they receive it and they understand that it is meant for them. Think about messages that are meant directly for somebody. I was thinking about one of my old favorite movies as a kid was The Lion King. Now, I think a lot about kids' movies because I have kids, so it's mostly the movies I'm watching. And in The Lion King, at the beginning, Simba is born to start the movie, and his dad, the king, Mufasa, says, you're going to eventually rule all of this land. Everything the light touches is going to be yours. Well, then, tragically, of course, Mufasa dies, and Simba's chased away. Simba doesn't want to be king. He wants to forget everything. But later on in the movie, Simba gets a vision with his dad in it. All right, he's got a vision. And this is hard to see. It didn't show up well. But this up here in this cloud is Mufasa, and Simba's actually down at the bottom. But it's his vision, and it's a message from Mufasa saying to Simba, you're my son and the one true king. And then Simba takes in that message. He receives it, and he goes back and fights and defeats Scar, and that's why we have this great Disney movie that we have. But that message could only be meant for Simba. He had to receive that. Nobody else could. That message was right to him. It was meant directly for him. We have other instances of this in the Bible. Moses, there was a bush lit on fire to give a message directly to Moses. Noah was directly talked to say, you need to build the ark because I'm going to flood the rest of the world from what God said. Messages that are meant, God speaks directly to us. God speaks specifically to us. He doesn't care what our status is. He doesn't care what society thinks about us. He'll flip that on its head because he's God. He'll give us whatever message he wants, and he'll give it specifically to us. That's what he did with the shepherds. He gave it directly to them, and they received it. And he doesn't want us to fight it off. He doesn't want us to think we don't deserve it. He doesn't want us to think it doesn't apply to us because we're not worthy of it. God says, no, if I'm speaking to you, if I'm giving you something directly, it is for you. You deserve it. You should have this. Receive it. So God wants us to hear and receive the message he has for us, and that's what the shepherds did. But that's just the first part. Second part, all right, so we're going to hear and receive. The shepherds hear and receive. We're supposed to hear and receive from God. The second part is acting on what we hear. So let's look at Luke 2, 15 through 16 for this part. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. So what did they do? They acted. They went. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. They were following what the angel said in verse 12 when it said, you will find a baby. The angel makes the assumption earlier that you're going to go. I'm telling you to go and to act on this because you're going to find the baby in this part. I want you to, with this, don't sleep on this part, but the fact that they went. Because I think when I've read this in the past, it's easy to say, well, yeah, of course they went. This is why we have a story. They were told to go and they went. But I don't think it's as easy in practicality. When we get something from God, it can be incredibly intimidating to act on it. It can be hard. It can be changing our lives. So it's not always easy to act on what God calls us to. Sometimes we're hesitant to act on what God calls us to. But the shepherds went with excitement. They went with determination. They rushed off. The shepherds acted right away. They did what they were supposed to. They acted. Let's think about another Disney movie where this happens. Moana, one of the more popular ones now. Moana acted. So again, the storyline of Moana, she's the daughter of the village chief. She's growing up, and she's supposed to be the next chief of the village, staying on the island, staying on Mata Nui. But she always feels pulled, feels nudged to the water. We see that from the very beginning of the movie. And her grandma is kind of telling her, yeah, you can go, you can go. She's like, no, I'm gonna stay. Even though I feel pulled to the water, I'm going to stay. But then they start having a hard time catching fish to eat. They start having a hard time growing stuff to eat. Their coconut trees go bad. And then her grandma eventually dies and tells her to go. You're the one that has to save the island, to save our people. And then we have that incredible song in the movie, you know, where it's dark and she's singing and she jumps onto the boat and crashes through the reef and makes it and then goes on. And as the movie continues, she saves her island by going. But the point of that is Moana acted, all right? She acted. She was determined. She went off. She felt the nudge of the water and she went. God wants us to act on what he tells us to, all right? And it's hard to not be hesitant. I will be completely honest. I was hesitant to plant this church when we felt like we were supposed to. It was a hard decision to make. Full disclosure, I tried to fight it off for a while and try to find something different. But God was like, no, this is what you're supposed to do. You need to act on it. So God wants us to act on what he tells us, act on what he calls us to. Now, he may give us something to think about first, but almost always involves some sort of action, some sort of change, something to do. The shepherds had to go and find this baby. Moana felt called, so she went to go and do it. It wasn't by God, but that was her story. The shepherds were told to go and see the baby, so they went and they acted, and that's what we're supposed to do. We have a God that is active, all right? God doesn't just sit around and wait. God acts, and he wants us to act. So that's the second part. We're supposed to act. So we hear and receive God's message. We act on God's message. And the third part is this. God wants us to share. To share the message that he gives us. Let's read Luke 2, 17 through 20 to get this part. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the shepherds go, they act, and they see, but they don't keep it to themselves. They spread the word concerning what they had been told. They basically become our first evangelists here. They go out and they share it. They shared with excitement. And again, this is another one, like, yeah, of course they shared with excitement, and they saw baby Jesus. But take a minute and think about it. They're these lowly shepherds. They have no status. People see them, some as unclean and as nothing. Why would people believe them? I don't know if I'm in their spot, if I'm jumping up and down to go share something new. Because would they believe them? But they still shared. They didn't care. They shared what they saw, what God had given them. Even though they had no reason to believe people would listen to them. They couldn't have been sure of the response, but God made sure that the people that needed to hear what they said heard it, because the people responded. All who heard were amazed at what the shepherd said. Right? God will make sure the right people hear it, but he wants people to share. He wanted the shepherds to share and not to hide it, not downplay it. And those are kind of two ends of the spectrum, I think. When we get something from God or we have something going on, to either downplay it or be incredibly excited about it. Now, back in 2017, I made the decision to go back to school to go to seminary because I knew I was supposed to do ministry full-time. At the time, I was coaching youth soccer, and I was going out to tryouts, and usually you kind of get to know a lot of the coaches and the stuff, and each year you're standing out at tryouts, you're just watching these little 11- and 12-year-olds play and figure out what the teams are going to be, and you're talking to each other, and there's the usual, what teams are you coaching, all this kind of stuff for next year. And they asked me, they said, I'm done coaching after this year. I'm done. Now, the reason was because I was going back to school to do ministry full-time. But I downplayed the daylights out of that with them. I basically made them play 21 questions to figure out what was going on. It was like, what are you doing? Oh, going back to school. Oh, cool. For what? Seminary. What's that mean? I want to go into ministry. Okay, cool. What is that? How do you do that? And we just kept going and going when I should have been more like the shepherds and shared that with excitement, shared that with some vigor and been excited about what God had for me to do. But I was downplaying it. So let's contrast that with Chris's favorite Christmas character, Buddy the Elf, when he is in the store. All right, he's in the store and he's working and the manager's like, Santa's coming, right? And he does the, Santa's coming, Santa's coming, Santa's coming. I know him. He's all excited, jumping up and down. That's the excitement. That's the vigor God would rather us share with. Now, should you always jump up and down and share things like that with Buddy? I'm getting some nods saying yes. Little outside of my personality, you'll probably never see me do that again. But the point is to share with excitement. That's what the shepherds did. They were excited. They were determined. They shared, and all who heard were amazed. Be more like Buddy the Elf with what you're sharing. Be excited about it. God doesn't want us to keep him or what he has done for us to ourselves. If it is from God, he will make sure the right people are hearing it at the right time, because he's that awesome and can do that. But he wants us to share it with excitement. So God wants us to hear and receive what he has for us. All right, that's the first part. Remember, when God says something to you, it is meant for you. The message was meant for the shepherds. God doesn't make mistakes with what he says. If he says it to you, he wants you to hear it. Then he wants us to act on what he says. And this can take a variety of forms. It might mean a daily habit change. It might mean you're supposed to talk to someone at work, or maybe go somewhere, or hang out more with somebody, but some sort of action. If you feel a nudge from God to do something, do it. God's not going to be wrong in that nudge, even if it's scary or intimidating. God wants us to act. He doesn't want us to sit on it. He wants action. And then share it. Don't keep it to yourself. There's the old kids song that I learned way back in the day in Sunday school, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine. And one of the lines is, hide under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. He doesn't want us to hide it. He wants us to share it. All right, it's so incredible. When God speaks to us, God's doing something in us, God's acting in us, he wants us to let other people know. So hear it, act on it, share it. be a combo of Simba, Moana, and Buddy the Elf. Something you may never hear in church again, but go ahead. Be like Simba, Moana, and Buddy. Be like the real shepherds who heard and received. They acted and they shared. That's how I think we should be like the shepherds. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. God, that we could dive into how the shepherds responded to your story. God, is there they're familiar characters in the Christmas story, but not some that we talk about all the time. So God, I pray that we would be sensitive to what you're saying to us. God, that we would take the time and listen to what you have to say, and that we would take it in and receive it first, God, just like the shepherds did, that we would realize your words are for us when you speak to us, that you want to talk to us specifically and have something for us. And then, God, I pray that we would act on that, whatever that action is supposed to be, God, and that I know that's different for everybody and whatever you're doing, but, God, that you would give the nudge and the direction to act, and, God, give us the confidence and the strength to act on what you have. And then to share it, God, to be excited, to be joyful about what you're doing in our lives, God, to share that, to let people know, God, as it's a season where many of us are talking about the birth of your son, but God, that we would share whatever you're saying to us during this time. We thank you for that, God. In your name, amen.